going to do verses 17 through 24, just 8 verses today. However, this is so key to our walk in Christ, understanding what we're going to look at here in these 8 verses as we walk in Him. Again, really important to understand and remember what Paul established in the first 3 chapters of Ephesians, that you are now a child of God. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now a child of God. You have the very nature and character of God inside of you. You're a completely new creation. So He didn't renovate who you were. And we'll get into that. He gave you Himself. He gave you Himself. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, right? It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So He gave you Himself. And so that he establishes that in the first three chapters. And then, he talked about in the end of chapter 3 that we would know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So one of that we're called to be filled with all the fullness of God, but it's through knowing His love for us. It's really knowing the love that He has for us that passes knowledge. So that's an experiential love. That's an intimate relationship that you have with Jesus, very personal, and that we would be filled all with fullness. Then the beginning of 4, the first thing Paul goes into is the way we are to love one another. And we're called to protect the unity of the body. But again, all this comes out of knowing His love for us. Okay, we can't really love one another unless we really know His love for us. So he talks about that, and that the fact that we're all one now, that we're one body, we've been made one in Christ. But then he goes on to talk about that we're different and that we all have different callings. And then he went into the fivefold, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But all of the differences that we have and the different offices that come to play and all of those things are all so that in verse 13, it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, which means a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is the maturity of Christ. So we're all called, and I didn't give that scripture to you, I'm sorry, but I didn't give you the right, but we're like, so when they say, okay, well, we're just sinners, we're always going to sin. No, you were called to walk, we were all called to walk in the fullness of Christ. Then to the full stature of Christ. That's what he's done. Now, Paul says, I'm still going after the mark, right? Not that I've attained, but I'm still going for it. So Paul, that gives me hope, but it's a little discouraging too. If Paul hadn't gotten there, I'm just not sure. But I'm just saying that when we hear, we're just sinners, we're always going to sin, or we're merely human. No, we all have Christ living in us. Right? And that's the reality of who we are now. And so our journey is just learning how to yield to who lives in us and let him live through us, which is what Paul really talks about here in Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to start in Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So he's talking about the non-believers, okay? Because there were Gentiles who'd become Christians. When he says the rest of the Gentiles, he's talking about the Gentiles who have not come into Christ. So you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. this is the way we all walked beforehand, right? So he's saying, I'm just affirming that you should no longer walk, you should no longer order your life according to the non-believers, the way that they walk, which is in the futility of their mind. This word futility is talking about, it stresses depravity and emptiness as to results. And it's the mind which governs the manner of life of the Gentiles. This is why it's so important for us to have the Word of God. Because this word mind speaks generally of the seat of reflective consciousness comprising the faculties of perception, understanding, and those of feeling, judging, and determining. So that's what we have now, is people walking according to the futility of their minds. They're going based on their perceptions, their understanding, their feelings and judgings, and making determinations outside of the Word of God, right? This is why the Word is so important, because it's objective, right? It gives us, I remember when I got saved, it was like, oh my gosh, of course I have like 500 books, but my life comes down to one book. I got 500 books about this book, but but I'm just saying that our life comes down to the word of God, and now we know what right and wrong is, what truth is and what the lie is. But when people are walking in the futility of their mind, then their feelings judge things, their own perceptions, there's no truth. So it's important for us to have something objective that we can make the subjective come into alignment with. And so the people who don't have the word of God are just walking based on their own understanding without understanding truth. Okay, and this is what Paul goes on to say. So the fact that he says this is the fact that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walks means that we can. It means we can be saved, but still walk as though we're not. And so he's warning against that, and he's going to talk to us about how to walk in the newness of who we are. So verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So this understanding means deep thought. It also can talk about imagination. So that their understanding is darkened. So it's without light. It's deprived of light. So their understanding has no light. And they're alienated, which means estranged, which means they're not participants in the life of God. Now this becomes so important for us to understand. And we talked about this word life a lot when we talked about John, the Gospel of John. But I'm going to go over the definition because it's important to just reinforce this. This word is zoe. It means, it's a Greek word for life. And it's life in the absolute sense. Life as God has it, which the Father has in himself and which he gave to the incarnate Son to have in himself. So Jesus, when he was alive, was the only spiritually alive person on the earth. He was alive to God, which the Son manifested in the world, so we can see, because he had life inside of him, how he lived differently than us or non-believers, right? He healed people. He had wisdom. He knew how to do things. Why? Because he had the life of God inside of him, okay? From this life, man has become alienated in the consequence of the fall, and this life, men become partakers through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who becomes its author to all such as trust in him, who is therefore said to be the life of the believer, because the life that he gives, he maintains. Eternal life is the present actual possession of the believer because of his relationship with Christ, and that it will one day extend its domain to the sphere of the body is assured by the resurrection of Christ. This life is not merely a principle of power and mobility, however, for it has moral associations which are inseparable from it, holiness and righteousness. So the life that we have is the very life, nature, and character of God, and it includes holiness and righteousness in it. Everything that the pure life of God is has been placed inside of us now because we are in Christ. And so all the morality and characteristics of that is in us. That's why it becomes difficult because we really don't want to sin, right? Because we now have a new nature that doesn't want to sin. We've been changed. Now the rest of us has to catch up with that, okay? But we have the life of God inside of us. So it's important, again, to understand that a non-believer is alienated from that. They're non-participants in it. This is why they behave the way they do. This is why we behaved the way we did before we came to Christ. They don't know any better. They're spiritually dead. It's important to understand that. So they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. This is a want of knowledge or perception, and it includes willful blindness, ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, right? Their hearts. So the heart is the word came to stand for a man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and emotional. So it's calloused over. It's hardened. Their hearts are hardened. They can't see. And this is all where we used to be. This is where we used to be. Verse 19, who being past feeling, this word means to become apathetic. So, and it's interesting because it means grieve out also. And it's almost like I feel that we become so, that we, and this is before we got saved, we become so disillusioned with life, it's like their hearts get really hardened. I mean, can we all relate to that? Especially before coming to Christ, like your heart just gets hardened over. So they're being past feeling, they've given themselves over to lewdness. This word lewdness means the best, it's best described as wanton, lawless insolence, a disposition of the soul, not having or bearing a struggle with remorse nor restraint. So after a while, there's not even any remorse or restraint. You've just given themselves over to it, to work all uncleanness, which means impurity, and with greediness means like a desperate wanting for more. Like you have, but you want more and more and more. So this is a really depraved state. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So this is the state that we were all in, and this is the state of a non-believer. Paul talks about this in Romans 2. Let's go to Romans 1, 18. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice it's not wrath against men, but it's wrath against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, so basically it says every person knows there's a God. Okay, but although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, or depraved in their thoughts, right? Futility, become futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. This is exactly what Paul was saying in 4. And then Romans 1:28 through 32, he says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So it says, you know, in Ephesians 4, that they give themselves over to this. And what happens is when we're following this path, we give ourselves over to it. And then finally, God, in his compassion and mercy, is like, I'm gonna let you go down this path, because he turns them over to that, because they need to see the total destruction that comes, so that they'll call out to him. Okay, because remember, John 3:16, God did not come to condemn the world. He came that the world would be saved. And so it's really important when we read about how non-believers live, Jesus was provoked with compassion. I mean, can you imagine living in a state where your whole reality is, you know, unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness? I mean, people are tormented in that place. Right? And so we need to understand that we know the answer. Why are they there? Because they're alienated from the life of God. They don't have the life of God, and they can't do any better. I mean, there's some people who make an intentional choice for that, but most people are just caught in this deception, and they're caught in this place, and they don't even know how to get out. And so we have to have compassion for people, and reach out to them with the answer. But again, Paul is saying, listen, You're a believer now. And it's important that we not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In the futility of our minds, we have to know truth. We have to know truth. So let's go to verse 20. Verse 20, he says, but, I love God's buts, but you have not so learned Christ. I love this because it says, it's not saying, not simply the doctrine of Christ, but Christ himself, a process not merely of getting to know the person, but of so applying the knowledge as to walk differently from the rest of the Gentiles. So what I love about this is it's talking about a relationship. It's not just I'm learning the doctrines of Christianity, but no, you've not so learned Christ because it's a relationship with him. Verse 21 goes on. It says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Okay, so the word hear means not just to physically hear, but to grasp the message. If you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, this is to receive instruction. But again, it's by him. It's by him. So even here, when I, you know, when I give this message and you know, I study and I pray that it's the Lord, you know, that's inspired this and the Holy Spirit's working, but it's Christ in you that grasps the message. It's the Holy Spirit with you that grasps the message. So I may stand up here and say the words by the anointing and all of that, but it's Christ teaching you. It's the Holy Spirit teaching you. Because he's going to take what I say and make it specific to you and quicken it to you and awaken it in you the way you need to hear it, the way you need to be quickened by it. Because he's that customized, right? So it's, he's indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth. The truth is in Jesus. This word truth, right? It signifies the reality lying at the basis of an appearance, the manifested veritable essence of a matter, especially of Christian doctrine. The truth in Jesus, the meaning is not merely ethical truth, but truth in all its fullness and scope as embodied in him. He was the perfect expression of truth. So this becomes so crucial that we have a personal relationship with him. Because what is he going to teach us? He's going to teach us the truth, first and foremost, about who God is. He came as the perfect representation of God, and he was merciful, he was compassionate, he was loving, he was kind. He healed whoever he came to. He inspired people to live. He empowered them to live. So he's very personal. And so in all of that, he was demonstrating to people who the real God is. And then he was demonstrating to them who the Son was. And he was demonstrating to all of us, he demonstrates how to live in relationship with the Father as a Son. So that's he modeled to us God, and then he modeled to us living as a child of God in relationship with God. And then he tells us that not only that relationship, but he shows us who we were created to be. Because we're designed to walk in that relationship with God. So he demonstrates God to us, the truth of God. He demonstrates the reality of him as a Son and what it's like to walk in relationship. And then he invites us in when we get born again to walk in that reality of us as children of God, because that's who we were created to be. In Matthew 11, it says, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love that. Because, see, he did all the work. People are burdened and heavy laden with trying to be good Christians. But he did all the work. What do we need to do? We just take his yoke upon us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. From me, not of me. Learn from me. Learn from me how to walk as a child of God. Learn how to walk in the life of God that's inside of you. Learn how to access the reality of who you were created to be now that you've been restored to a relationship with God. Learn how to live from that relationship, because he did all the work to put you into that relationship. Yes. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If our souls aren't at rest, it's because we're not walking yoked with Jesus. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If our soul is not at rest, it's because we're not resting in him and trusting in the fact that he finished the work, right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. A lot of times we're very labored and heavy laden in our walk. And he's like, that's not supposed to be. I did all the work. Come next to me and let me demonstrate to you how to live this life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So he teaches us as we are yoked to him, he teaches us who we really are in him. He is such a beautiful Savior. He is such a beautiful Savior. Verse 22. Well, again, let me go back to 21 for a minute. So if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. This word means to put off, to lay aside, okay? Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. This can mean antique. I like that. But this worn out, okay, old man, out of date, who grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust. So this, it grows corrupt. It means corrupting and to destruction. Deceitful means a false impression, which by appearance, statement, or influence, and lust are cravings, longings, or desires for what is usually forbidden. Okay, so these lusts, these cravings, right, are deceitful because they tell you they're going to give you something good, and they never do. They never do. So, but we are to put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Why do we put off the old man? Because it's not who you are. Notice it doesn't say you need to improve the old man. You can't improve the old man. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to kill him. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. So you put off. So we need to really understand this because we all get caught up in this. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. Because yourself, your bad self, our old self, can't be improved. That's why Jesus had to come, because there was no hope. So what he did is he killed the old and he gave you new. Praise the Lord. So our whole journey is learning to live from the new. Right? That's our whole journey. So we put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. It's just going to grow corrupt according to deceitful lust. There's no hope for it. So we put that off. We realize that's not who we are when it tries to talk or give us bad advice or whatever. We know that's not who we are anymore. What do? So he says here, it goes, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is really important. This word, renewer here mentioned, is not of that of the mind itself and its natural powers of memory, judgment, and perception, but the spirit of the mind, which under the controlling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit directs its bent and energies Godward in the enjoyment of fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and of the fulfillment of the will of God. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind if we let the Holy Spirit do this, it's going to direct us to live from the relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, the problem in the garden was because they came self-conscious. We were designed to be God-conscious. And so it being renewed in the spirit of your mind is allowing the Holy Ghost to take us to being living from this relationship with God, which is also the relationship with God, right? Because he's in here. He's out here and he's in here. So it's learning how to relate from this relationship with God. Again, always about relationship. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you and bring you into this relationship with God and keep you conscious of that. And verse 24, that you put on, this means to be like to fall into a set of clothings. So to put on the new man, really important. This new, again, is not an improved version of each one of us. That couldn't be done. So it's a completely new creation as to form quality of a different nature from what is contrasted to old. So the new man has a completely different nature than the old man did. Completely new. So you put on the new man, which was created. This word created is always attributed to God. Okay, so it's created by God according to God. In true, we know what true means, true righteousness and holiness. Important to understand this righteousness too, right? Righteousness is the character or quality of being right or just. It is used of that gracious gift of God to men, whereby all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. You have a right relationship with God. This righteousness is unattainable. It's unattainable by obedience to any law or by any merit of man's own or any other condition than that of faith in Christ. Amen. We still try to work sometimes for self-righteousness. It's not possible. The man who trusts, the man or woman who trusts in Christ becomes the righteousness of God in him, becomes in Christ all that God requires a man to be, all that he could never be in himself. The faith thus exercised brings the soul into vital union with God in Christ and inevitably produces righteousness of life, that is conformity to the will of God. So this new man that you've been freely given, we've all been freely given in Christ, is created by God, according to God, in true absolute righteousness and holiness. Why? Because he's given us his life, and his perfect righteousness is in that life, his perfect holiness is in that life, and he has put that inside of us now as believers. So that is our new man. That is who we are to identify with. So that the journey is, life is always asking us who we are. Every situation is asking us who we are. And do we believe we're the old man or do we believe we're the new man? Right? But you get asked that about 1,000 times a day. We get asked that about 1,000 times a day. And we sometimes offer, you know, we give A and B sometimes. Right? But the question is, A, the new man. Colossians 3 says the same thing. Colossians 3 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. So all that stuff of anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all that stuff is who you used to be with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed. I love this. He's renewed in knowledge. This is that full knowledge that comes from a deep, intimate relationship, is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's like, we look in the Bible and he tells us, you're just like me. Then we put the Bible down and we walk away and we forget. Like, duh. We have to come back and look again. This is who I am. James says that, right? You look in the word and you forget, like you walk away. It's usually when you meet people. That's been my experience. I'm just being honest. Right? I'm doing fine in my room and then I walk out and Randy says something to me. And it's just like out the window. I was doing so good when I was in my room. I think it's the thresholds. It has something does. The thing does. Like, we just need to be real, okay? Amen. So let's go to Romans 6, because Paul talks about this really good in Romans 6, because this is really important to understand. Because even when you come out the room and you had this wonderful time with Jesus and someone says something and you see some old characteristics show up, you need to remember, that's not who I am. That is not who I am. And who I really am has not changed. Stop. But this is important, because who you really are has not changed. It's just that you had a memory lapse for a moment, right? You forgot. We forgot. I forgot that I'm righteous, holy, and pure, right? So we need to just keep reminding ourselves, I'm righteous, I'm holy. As you go to the door and about to open it, I'm righteous, I'm holy, and I'm pure. Just don't say anything. I'm righteous and holy and pure. Randy always tells me, I'm provoking you to love. I anyway. Praise God. Praise God. Just don't say anything. Anyway, okay, so Romans 6. Paul, in Romans 5, he's talking about the fact that, you know, of the grace of God that's towards us, and that it's by faith, and that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So then he brings this question in Romans 6:1. He goes, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, you know, if my sin is going to demonstrate the grace of God, well, then why don't I just sin more so God can show off his grace? Yeah, that's carnal thinking. But anyway, but he says, verse 2, he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, the truth is you died to sin. You died to sin. So why would we choose to live any longer in it? In verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him. See, your old man was buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. This word life is the same, it's the Zoe life of God. The same life that Paul was talking about in Ephesians 4. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. See, this is what I mean. Your old man was, it had to be killed. It couldn't be improved on. It had to just die, right? So Jesus came, and this is why he died in the flesh, and sin in the flesh was condemned, so he took care of all that so that he could make us new. For he who has died, right, has been freed from sin. I remember studying this out and finding out what this word freed meant. This is really powerful. So that he who has died has been freed from sin. It means to be deemed right. It to show to be right or righteous, to be declared to be righteous or to pronounce righteous. So for he who has died has been declared righteous apart from sin. You've been declared righteous as a child of God, apart from sin, apart from what happened, apart from who you were. We have all been declared righteous. Wow, that's powerful. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. No longer has dominion over us either, right? Because we've already died and we're new creations in him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. This is what we're called. Like our old life has died, which was selfish. It was all about us. And now our new life is in us and we live to God. We live to God. Verse 11, he says, likewise, you also consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the same thing. Put off the old man and put on the new. So when that stuff comes up, this is where we need to have that split instant of a choice. When something happens, where am I going to react from? This is where you need to be assured that you're a new creation in Christ. So I'm not an old person. I'm not the old person trying to grit my teeth and be better. I'm yielding to Christ in me and the reality of who I now am. And so in as we walk through our lives, this is, again, every situation is asking you, who do you believe you are? You know, if we grab anger, okay, well then in that situation, I was thinking of myself as who I used to be and not recognizing Christ in me and allowing Christ to respond to this situation. Does that make sense? It's like, and it's not that I've lost Christ if I choose to respond in anger. Christ is still here. I just did la, 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 la when he was talking. I know none of you do that. Anyway, verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Okay, that means if he says that, don't do that, it means that we could make that choice. It doesn't change that we're children of God. It's just we can surrender to that, right? And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. In other words, don't go back to the old man and surrender yourself to the old man, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So now again, I'm going to choose to access who I already am in Christ. We're going to choose to access that and surrender our bodies to righteousness. Because that's what lives inside of us. That's who we are now. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Really good point here. That means if sin does have dominion over you, it's because you've got yourself under law instead of grace. If you're in an area where there's sin, it's really giving you a hard time, it's because you've put yourself under law and you're trying to improve the old man as opposed to living from who we are in Christ. It's important because a lot of times people, when they have an area of sin, they try to squeeze it down and get more and more control over it. And that's not the way. The more you try to control that thing, the more that thing's going to just rear itself up. What you have to get under is renew your mind as to who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, because that grace of who you are in Christ will break the power of that. Love and grace are the things that break the yoke, not struggling and gritting my teeth and trying to strain and struggle. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this some more. Romans 8. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, or the old man, set their minds on the things of the flesh, or the carnal mind, but those who live according to the Spirit, in their new man, the things of the Spirit. So you can tell, like, where your mind is. Are we thinking about the Spirit? Because we'll walk in the Spirit, right? For to be carnally minded, or old man minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded or new man minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind or the old mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. That's why it had to be killed. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now again, so we are in Christ. We are in the Spirit. It's just a matter of, are we going to walk in accordance with that? Right. So your address doesn't change as far as you are in Christ, but we just have a choice as to who we're going to identify with. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. I think that's pretty amazing. Like, the body is dead, right? The old man died, and yet the reason we're still alive is we've got the Spirit of Christ in us. He's the one who's giving life to our mortal body. Praise the Lord. Yes. Let's go to Romans 12. We're making a little journey through Romans here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable offering. Just like he said, surrender your members to righteousness, not unrighteousness. Verse 2, and do not be conformed or molded to this world. Remember Ephesians 4, right? Don't behave like the rest of the Gentiles behave in the futility of their mind, but be transformed. This word transformed is metamorphosis, and it's the same word used when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? It means the obligation being to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. It lays stress on the inward change okay? And it's a present continuous tense indicating a process. A process. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That perfect, we talked about that before, that means mature. Like we're supposed to grow into the maturity, the full stature of Christ. But it all comes through renewing our mind. Remember, he says, don't live like the rest of the Gentiles live in their futility of their mind. We have to renew our mind to the truth of who we already are so that we can walk in what he's given to us. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 here. So this becomes our journey in Christ. It's really knowing the reality of who we are, who we already are, and then deciding to walk in this. I want to read a quote from a book that I've been reading. It's really good. It says, we must walk as those who already have the favor of God, a new holy nature, life, and happiness in accordance with our new state in Christ. And we receive them more and more by faith. Really important. If we walk as those who are seeking these things, if we walk as those who are seeking favor of God, seeking a new holy nature, seeking life and happiness, then it means at present we judge ourselves to be without them and therefore without Christ himself, in whose fullness they are all contained. Therefore, we are walking according to our old natural state as those who are yet in the flesh, and that would get salvation in it, and by our carnal works and observances, instead of living altogether on Christ by faith. So if we, again, and I do this too, we get caught up in trying to improve ourselves, to make ourselves better and more compliant to good things. And that's not Christianity. Christianity is Christ in us. We are completely new creations. And the reality of Christianity is learning to yield to Christ in us and allowing him to live through us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 2:19-21. Paul says, I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. His old self, which was under the law and could never attain righteousness or holiness, totally not possible. So that whole thing died, and it died to the law. It died to all of it. I have been crucified with Christ. Who you were was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I have a friend of mine. I remember her saying to me, she got so excited. She goes, yay, the witch is dead. Really, but it's a reality of like the person that you didn't like yourself to be is dead. It's dead, but you've been made new. But Christ lives in me, and the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's even his faith, okay, which I know the New King James doesn't say that, but the King James says the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. He gave himself. There's a great article. You can look this up on the internet by A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson called himself. He was a pastor, and he worked really hard in the ministry, and he became very, very ill. And he believed in healing and everything, but he couldn't get well. He couldn't get well. And so he finally retired and went off by himself. And he got the revelation of that it wasn't Christ, it wasn't him who lived, but Christ lived in him. He was completely healed, and he actually started Christian Missionary Alliance and became a prolific writer. He would write book after book after book because he would just sit down and Christ would write the book. It was just Christ, he just realized it was Christ in him. It was Christ in him. He just lived. They said he hardly had to sleep because it was just Christ in him living. And that's what we're all called to. Right? It's just Christ. I mean, Paul said that over and over again, that it was the grace of God that sustained him through everything he went through. It wasn't his own strength that he lived in. It was Christ in him that lived the life that Paul lived. And this is the ultimate of Christianity. I mean, I never knew it, but that college, we used to pass that college all the time when I was growing up. That's Christian Missionary Alliance. It was just around, it was a few towns over from us. And he says, so he goes on, verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, in other words, if my right standing with God or my perfection comes from what stuff that I do to earn it, then Christ died in vain. And he didn't, if our flesh could have been improved, he wouldn't have had to come. He wouldn't have had to come. The only thing that could be done is just kill the monster, get rid of it. And here's a brand new thing. This is so important for us to understand. And this is how we tear down strongholds. It's knowing who we are in Christ. It is not a self-improvement program, right? And the thing is that we have to become Christ conscious and not self-conscious. It's when we get into the self-pity of our lives, it's when we get into the circumstances of our lives and poor me and how this is all working and things aren't going my way, all of that is just me, 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 me. I call it the me monster, okay? The me monster. But our life is, in every situation, it's asking us, is Christ in us and is he responding to the situation? Like, is Christ in me? Christ in me. I was thinking about this if you think about someone who wins the lottery, a really poor person wins the lottery, and studies have shown that like within a few years they're like back in their poverty. And that's kind of like what we've got in Christ, except we don't lose what we've gotten. But if we don't, we've been given everything. We've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have it all. But if we don't change our minds, if we don't change the way we live, we'll squander that. And even though we're still going to go to heaven one day, that doesn't change that. We'll squander what he's given us because we're still living like who we used to be. We're still identifying with who we used to be. So it's important, again, when old patterns or old thoughts come up, you know, old temptations, it asks us, who do you believe you are? Who do you think you are? When this comes, it's not, because this is where the enemy will get you. He'll be like, well, look, I can't believe, you call yourself a Christian. I can't believe you're even tempted by that. Well, there's one of two things that's tempted. Your old man, who isn't who you are, or it's the devil, and that's not who you are either. That's where temptations come from. So it's us having the understanding that, yes, okay, so I had this thought, but that's not who I am because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And therefore, I'm not going to participate with that behavior, sin, or temptation because that's not who I am. And as we do that, as we exercise that, we will become stronger and stronger and stronger in the reality of who we already are. Amen? Amen. 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 So Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much for your truth. Holy Spirit, thank you. Let us be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Lord, that we continue to come to you. We come to rely on you. We live in this relationship that you had with God, that we live in the reality of that relationship, Lord, because as we draw close to you, Lord, I know that you continue to guide us and lead us in the reality of who we are. And Lord, I thank you that even when we mess up, that you're right there to encourage us, to remind us of who we are, and to keep directing us in the path, because, Lord, you have promised that we will reach the end for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.